Dr. Wenthe, members of the faculty and staff, members of the Board of Regents, parents, wives, children of those who are graduating from Concordia Theological Seminary this year, and especially you, those individuals who are graduating, gifts of God to the church, gifts that God is giving to congregations and agencies in this particular segment of His great church as you move forward from seminary education to full-time service. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, all of you. The excitement of today is kind of anticlimactic, isn't it? That is, compared to about 4 weeks ago, when you were gathered in this place, and as destinations were called out, where individuals were being assigned, there were oohs for Hawaii, there were oohs for California, and Central Illinois fell flat. And it was God working through individuals to let the church know where He was assigning individuals to go in full-time ministry. I'm suggesting tonight that this is anticlimactic because 4 weeks ago it was God saying to you where you were going. And tonight it is a matter of a faculty saying you're qualified to go. 4 weeks ago it was God speaking. Tonight it's man speaking. 4 weeks ago it was God saying, this is what I want. And tonight it's human beings saying, you're qualified. You're ready. You can go out and do that because the church has certain things that we're supposed to follow. And one of those is certification by a seminary faculty. And so I would really suggest that tonight is somewhat anticlimactic, and yet we say this is the day that the Lord has made, and surely we've been rejoicing all day long. And I know tonight you're rejoicing for many reasons, but rejoicing because after tonight, you're ready. You're ready to go. You're ready to say, okay, Lord, you've chosen me, and now I can accept that call finally. And I can go to your people and minister to them wherever that may be. And yet, before you leave the campus, maybe some of you leaving tomorrow, that is Fort Wayne, maybe some the next day or whenever, I'd like to take just a few minutes this evening to one more time, focus on ministry. Ministry in the church, ministry to God's people, ministry itself, and the incredibility of what we know as being ministry. Mr. Webster says in his New World College Dictionary, the fourth edition, sounds like I just finished a term paper and had the right qualification in the bibliography, doesn't it? Mr. Webster says that incredible means seemingly too unusual or improbable to be possible. And so it is that I'm feeling that it's incredible that God, the great King, has chosen you to be a pastor or to be servants in His church. Clay pots. Isn't that what we read in the scripture? You're clay pots. Oh, not necessarily those fancy hand-painted ones that you get at a special nursery or some florist shop, but more like the kind of rusty colored ones that you get at Lowe's or Home Depot. Not really the exciting ones, not the ones that are really flashy, but the ones that are just kind of ordinary. Just the kind that are there every day, day in and day out. Even maybe we could say the ones that we just take for granted. And maybe you are just kind of ordinary. Maybe you are those individuals who come from a wide variety of backgrounds and circumstances, and maybe some of you will have a little higher GPA than others, but I dare say that probably, and it might be humbling to hear it, probably none of you will ever make it into Who's Who in America, and maybe not even Who's Who in Fort Wayne. But through this all, the Holy Spirit has come to you and, as it were, put his hand on your shoulder. And he said, I want you. I've chosen you. I want you in full-time service. I want you in full-time ministry to my people. I want you, an individual that I've chosen, I've handpicked. Why you? Aren't you just an ordinary clay pot? My mom was quite a gardener. Had a lot of flowers. Too many, I thought, especially when I had to go out and weed day after day in the summertime. But she had a lot of flowers, and she raised them, and she was good at it. And she had a lot of, well, you know, those clay flower pots, the kind of rusty-colored ones with the hole down in the bottom, all different sizes. And one day, as I was moving one from one place to another, I dropped it and it broke, and Mom got all excited, and I got verbally thrashed for the fact that I broke a flower pot and I wasn't very careful. And then I did the very foolish thing of saying, but Mom, why are you so excited? It's just an old clay pot. And she looked at me and she said, but Robert, it was special to me. Special to me. And I think that's what God says about his men in the Old Testament, where he's referring to his prophets as my prophets, as my men, as individuals who belong to him. And you, my brothers, are individuals that the Lord is saying, you are my men. You are the individuals that I want to be pastors in my church, to go to my people to minister to them. You are my men. You are special. And in the words of Jesus, he that despises you despises me. Well, in your full-time service, you're going to be also handling holy things. Kind of incredible for clay pots. But you're going to be handling very special treasures. The Word of God, not of men. That which makes people wise unto salvation in Jesus Christ, not a novel, not just some book that we can take or leave, but that which lets us know about him who gave his life and shed his blood, and because of him, we are assured of forgiveness and everlasting life. You will have the privilege of holding that word and sharing that word with the lambs of his flock, the sheep of his flock, the people that he has brought into his kingdom. And then you've got also those other holy things, namely the sacraments of holy baptism and the Lord's Supper, where you're going to have the privilege of the church working through you and in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, splash the waters of baptism on individuals, maybe infants, maybe adults. But as you do so, there's the working of the Holy Spirit, because you are the chosen instrument in that place at that time that the Lord wants there. And then as the folks kneel at the communion rail and you give them that very body and blood which he gave and shed for the remission of sins, holy things. And wasn't it God himself who, as Moses came near the burning bush, said, hold it, Moses, take your shoes off. You are standing on holy ground. Is that because that particular spot was so good? Hardly. Jethro wouldn't have gotten very excited about it. Moses didn't either, but it was holy because it was in the very presence of the Lord. And this, my brothers, is where you are going to be as you carry on your ministry, in the very presence of God every single day, because you have the privilege of being His men. You have the privilege of being His chosen instruments to share the word and to administer the sacraments. It's incredible that He should have chosen you or me, clay pots, to handle His word and His sacraments and minister to His precious people. And it's in that ministry that you're going to be serving incredible people. Oh, they're kind of weak and they're kind of frail, and you'll find that out very quickly. And I don't know whether you've grown up in a rural area where sheep have been raised or whether you've grown up in the city where you don't even know anything about sheep. But if you don't know anything about sheep, you better read about them before you get to St. John's or Emmanuel or Epiphany or wherever it is that you're going, because you're going to be dealing with the weak and the frail and the feeble and the sick, all because of sin. And they're helpless individuals and are very much in need of guidance and leadership, because you are the one that has been chosen. You are the one that can provide that for them. Again, the word and the sacrament. And yet at the same time, it's the Apostle Peter who says, but they're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, to quote the King James. So even though they're kind of weak and frail and feeble, yet they're very special to God in a different way than you are special. But you have been chosen to minister to those special people whom He loved and whom Jesus also gave His life and shed His blood for. Not only for preachers, but also for the lambs and the sheep of the flock. Because God would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So it is for them that the life was sacrificed and the blood was shed, that forgiveness could be spoken, and that forgiveness could be sure and real. Incredible. Not only that He chose you, but that He wanted people like us to be in His kingdom, to inherit eternal life together with His only begotten Son. As you begin your ministry, I'm suggesting that it's at an incredible time in what we call history. Oh, it's 2002. Everybody knows that. Might be July, might be June. Whenever you get to St. John's or Epiphany or whatever it is, if the floods go down and you can get through to wherever it might be, you're going to get there, but it's not going to be very long, and you're going to be finding out that you're ministering at a very incredible time with the world's population the way it is in relationship to Jesus Christ. A couple of weeks ago, our pastor and his wife invited my wife and myself over for dinner. That's kind of neat about being retired. You get invited over to the pastor's house rather than the pastor inviting you. You know, it's kind of neat. And so we went over for dinner, and we were enjoying dinner very much. And during the course of conversation, we were talking about raising chickens and the ins and the outs. And there's more outs than there's ins in raising chickens, if you've ever done that. And of course, then one story kind of led to another, and one tried to outdo another one. And then the conversation turned to butchering chickens. And you got to know how to do that, because if you don't, you're in big trouble. And you have to be able to hold the chicken exactly right with the two legs, and then get the wings down and hold that all with one hand, and then get ready with the hatchet or the axe. And then you got to remember that after it's done, you still have to hold the chicken Because if you let the chicken go, you'll find out that the chicken ain't dead. And then after running around frontwards or backwards or somersaults or doing a few things you didn't think the chicken was going to do, then you realize the chicken finally dies. And thus the expression, people run around sometimes like chickens with their heads cut off. And I'm suggesting that the time in history when you are entering the ministry is the time when people are running around like chickens with their heads cut off, because they have no sense of direction. They have no hope for the future, and they really know or care very little about the past. Jesus Christ is not a part of their life. About 3/4 of this world's population today doesn't have saving faith in Jesus Christ. And they're not all on the other continents. They're right here, and even to the very place that you are going to pastor. Well, maybe not 3/4, but I dare say that your market is going to be 1/2 of the population in any given community. What a privilege for you, and what an opportunity for you to give direction to those lives, because you've got the real word. You've got the real map. You've got the real advice. You've got exactly what the people need, namely, you've got Jesus Christ that you're ready to share with them. And besides that, you've got the Holy Spirit on your side working through that word that you share to work faith in the heart of that individual. Incredible time. The market is live. The market is waiting. And you're being called to come out and minister in just the same way as Paul was called, come on over to Macedonia and help us. Wherever you're going, they are saying, come and help us, because we are tired of running around like chickens without our heads. Incredible time to begin ministry. It's kind of an oxymoron then, brothers, when you think of this being so incredible, and yet we say with boldness and confidence, I believe in God the Father Almighty. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. I believe in the Holy Spirit. How can it be incredible, and yet we say, I believe? That's the oxymoron. That's what it is, however, to be a man of God, when you can lead them in saying what you believe, when you can confess before people what you believe, and you with all boldness and confidence can know beyond any doubt that what you believe is good and right and salutary, because it was given to you by God Himself. I encourage you that when you get to your first parish, that within the first month or two or three, you don't try to come in and change the words of the creed. Or that you don't try to write something which is so much better than any one of the three ecumenical creeds, because after all, they're so old, they really don't apply today. Brothers, the three creeds have stood the test of time. You haven't. And in several hundred or 1,000 or 2,000 years, if you can live that long, and you've got a better way to say it, maybe you can say this is better than that which is written. But use the creeds, because it's a statement of what you believe, but it's also what the sheep believe. And when you can say it together and hear each other in worship saying it and meaning it, and when the flock can watch the pastor speak the same words and know that this is what he really believes, That's encouragement to them. And if he's right, and if this is good enough for him, then it's good enough for me, and I'm going to believe it. So use the creeds. Even though it's incredible as far as time, and it's incredible that the Lord would call you, say that this is what you really believe, and say it in such a way that you really mean it. Well, I guess ordination could happen tomorrow, couldn't it? Well, maybe you better not get in trouble with your new district president quite so soon. At least be there a couple of months before you aggravate him to that point. But you could be ordained tomorrow if the registrar's office would get the certification to the district president and he could say, yeah, it's okay, we can handle this. But it's man saying, we got to wait, because God has already spoken through his chosen people at St. John's by the water tower, wherever that is, because they have said they want you to come and minister to them with word and sacrament. And I plead with you that as you go, that you remember that you're going to be working hard, but you're not going to a job. You've been called by God through his people to say, come to Macedonia and help us. And if you can be assured every day of your ministry that you have been called there by him, then on even the days when it's not most joyful, and the days when people are aggravated, and the alligators are around you up to over your hips, you still will know, this is where the Lord wants me. And if God wants me, then surely that which seems so incredible is believable. And since you believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you can believe that he will do all things through you as you work in his name. Thanks for the privilege of letting me be here this evening. Thanks for the privilege of addressing you. And I say to you, go in peace, serve the Lord, and God's people respond by saying, thanks. And may our Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, go with you, surround you with his love, give you direction, and undergird you so that you can do all things for him. God be praised.